Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome once again to Tuesday Noonday Prayer. I'm Linda Sears, and I am your broadcast host, and I thank you for joining us today and for always. Whenever you join us, I'm so thankful and grateful for you allowing us into your home, your car, wherever you are, into your hearing. So thank you. We're so thankful and grateful that we do. Our theme song is the song Pray by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, and that song just resonates with me because we do serve a God who has promised that he will answer us when we pray. For the word of the Lord in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says that this is the confidence that we have in him, that when we pray according to his will, that he hear us. And if he hear us, then we know we have the petitions for which we ask of him. The word of God also says that the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them, and he delivers them out of all their troubles, and that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. So we have to know and believe that we have a God who indeed answers our prayers. He answers our prayers because his ears are open. His ears are open to the cries of the righteous, and we're just so thankful and grateful that we know that we can pray, and God hears our prayers, and he answers our prayers. Amen. Amen. Today, before we pray, we want to talk a little bit about one of the virtues of the fruit of the Spirit. We'll be coming from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And the word of God says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such things there is no law that can bring a charge. And there is one, the fruit of the Spirit is not plural, but it's singular. It's one fruit, but it has nine virtues or manifestations. And the virtues of the fruit of the Spirit are virtues and characteristics of God. And the definition of fruit that we are going to be using as it applies to what we are talking about today. The definition is, as to works or deeds, fruit is the visible expression of power working inwardly and visibly. The power of the Holy Spirit working inwardly within us and visibly as we see the power of the Holy Spirit, which is being manifested through the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And the character of the fruit is the evidence, is evidence of the character of the power producing it. And so today we're going to discuss the first virtue of the fruit, which is love. And love is the foundation for all the other virtues. And, you know, God's love for us is agape, the agape love, which means it's unconditional love. And because of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, we too can love unconditionally. The greatest commandment, according to Matthew 22:34, reads, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply," making reference to Jesus, "they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question, 'Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?' Jesus replied, 'You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." And God has shown us his unconditional love for us because the word of God in the book of Romans chapter 5 beginning at verse 6 says, "While we were yet in weakness, powerless to help ourselves, at the fitting time Christ died for in behalf of the ungodly. Now it is an extraordinary thing for one to give his life even for an upright man, though perhaps for a noble and lovable and generous benefactor, someone might even dare to die." Verse 8 says, "But God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were yet sinners, Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us." Now let's look at, let's go back to verse 5. And it's the Apostle Paul is talking to the believers about perseverance, endurance, and the hope of salvation. And he says, "And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. We know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love, according to Romans 5:5. We didn't deserve that show of love from the Father, that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. But he loves us unconditionally. And the word unconditionally means not limited by conditions. That's a very simple definition. Unconditional love. His love for us is not limited by conditions. In other words, there are no strings attached. God's love for us is not based on what we do or what we don't do. Because as a matter of fact, according to the word of God in Romans 8, beginning at verse 35, it says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So here we have a God who loves us unconditionally. Nothing can separate us from his love. We can't do anything to make him love us any more than he already loves us because it's unconditional. And so do we love others that way, or do we love others based upon how they treat us or what they do or don't do for us? And Jesus has something to say about anyone that has that attitude. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, beginning at verse 33, Jesus says, "You have heard the law that says, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So what is Jesus saying here? You know, it costs nothing to be nice to people who are nice to us. It takes nothing to love people who love us back. But what about those people who are not nice to us? What about those people who, as the Word of God says here, those who persecute us, those who don't like us, who mistreat us, who does ill will towards us? Jesus says we're to love them because, see, that's when the love of God is made manifest in our lives, when we can love to that degree. We can love those who don't love us. We can love those who treat us bad, talk about us, lie on us, do all types of evil things to us. We can love those. See, that takes something. That takes God. That takes God and the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit himself, at work on the inside of us. We can't do that in our own selves because that's not human nature. That's not human nature to do that. It says, but you are to be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And when we look at the Amplified, that's verse Matthew 5, verse 48. And when we look at verse 48 in the Amplified version, it kind of gives us some insight into what that actually means. It says, you therefore must be perfect, growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character. Growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, does that mean perfect in the sense that we think of perfect, perfect without flaws, perfect without messing up? No, it says here perfect means growing in complete maturity of godliness in mind and character. In other words, you are mature to the place in your mind and in your character that you want to do those things that God says that you're to do. You desire to do them. You're endeavoring to do them. You're endeavoring to show love to people who don't show love to you. You are endeavoring to love your enemies as the Word of God says. We are endeavoring to do that. We haven't reached it yet, but every day we're striving to be the men and women of God, walking in love, operating in love as God has commanded us to do. We are growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character. It's a process, and daily we are walking in the process. And so, therefore, John tells us, in 1 John, it tells us that we're to continue to love one another, for love comes from God. And anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us and through us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. You know, God is a God of divine providence. There are no coincidences in God. Everything that God allows is for a divine purpose. It's for a reason and it's for a purpose. So let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, the Apostle Paul talks mainly about spiritual gifts. You know, if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about the gifts of the Spirit. He talks about the gifts of the Spirit, and there's several other things that he talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about the spiritual gifts. He talks about unity and diversity. And he goes on and he talks even about how the body is put together and it has many members, but it's one body. There should be no separation. There's no separation or division in us. He even talks about, you know, how God has appointed these things in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, health, administration, variety of tongues. But in the very last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 31, he says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And then the very last sentence in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Here it is. He's talked all about the gifts, the apostles, the prophets. He's talked about all these things. He says, but yet I show you a more excellent way. Sometimes we get so caught up in the body of Christ. Sometimes we get so caught up in giftings, our gifts. But the gifts are not ours. They are the gifts of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit that has been imparted to us, that has been given to us for the purposes of exalting and glorifying God in the earth realm, for the purpose of the church being the body of believers that God has ordained, anointed, and appointed us to be. They're not our gifts. But right in the middle of the gifts, right in the middle of that, at the end of that chapter, he says, but I show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into chapter 13 talking about love, talking about love. And you can read it in your leisure. You already probably already know what chapter 13 is all about. And he talks about love and how love does not demand its own way. Love is not selfish, and love keeps no records of wrong done to it. He goes on about love. And then in chapter 14, he comes right back and begins talking about the gifts again. This is not coincidental. It's not coincidental that he talks about the gifts. Then he says, but I show you a more excellent way. And that more excellent way is love, operating in love. Operating in love is greater than operating in the gifts, believe it or not. Because love is the greatest gift of all. God exemplified that through Jesus when he sent Jesus to die for us. And because now the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, we are called to show that love to others. So he doesn't want us to get so hung up and caught up in the giftings of God and all that stuff, in the titles and all those things. He wants us to operate in the more excellent way, to operate in love. And we are talking about love, the God kind of love, the agape love, the unconditional love. The Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of each and every one of us that calls on the name of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And when we are submitted and yielded to the Holy Spirit, the characteristics of God should be evident in our lives, as we read in the definition when we first began. The character of God should be evident in our lives. If we say we belong to God and he lives in us through the person of the Holy Spirit, then it should be evident in our lives. The Word of God says, by their fruit you shall know them. When people look at us, ask yourself this question. Make it personal. When people look at you, do they see the Christ that lives on the inside of you? Do they see the characteristics of God at work in your life? Do they see the love of God? Do you display the love of God to others? Are you as loving to others as God is loving to you? Can you love people not based upon what they do for you and what they don't do for you, but can you love them because God commands you to love them? And God does not command us to do anything that he has not given us the capabilities or the ability to do, because he's placed his Spirit on the inside of us. Holy Spirit himself lives on the inside of us. And when we are yielded and submitted to the Holy Spirit, then the characteristics of God should be evident in our lives. Do people see the love of God manifested in your life? Do they see that? Remember, as we read in the definition at the beginning, the character of the fruit being evidence of the character of the power producing it. is the character of your fruit evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work in you and through you? That's a question that we each have to answer our own self. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, and we honor you today. We thank you that you and you alone are God, and besides you, there is none else. We thank you today that you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and you are the end. Oh, God, we thank you for who you are in us and through us. We thank you for the Spirit of the living God, Holy Spirit himself, who lives on the inside of us. We thank you, Lord God, that even as you've commanded us to walk in love, you have not commanded us to do anything that we cannot do, that because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. He is indeed our helper. He is our advocate. He is there to help us to be the men and women of God that you have ordained, anointed, and appointed us to be. We thank you, Lord God, for your love that has been shed abroad in our hearts, and that now we are called to show that love to others, oh God. Lord God, help us to not be so into ourselves that we cannot be loving towards others, God. Help us to not be selfish, Lord God. Help us to not have ill feelings and ill things in our hearts, God, that will hinder us in showing your love to others, oh God. Because for some people, we are the only Christ that they're going to see, God. So, Lord God, we just thank you for your Spirit being alive in us and through us. We thank you for the Spirit of the living God. We thank you for the fruit of the Spirit. And even today, as we focus on the manifestation or the virtue of the Spirit of love, we thank you that we are people of love because we are your people. Your word says that if we don't love God, that we are not of you, because you are love. You are love, God, and we thank you, we praise you, and we honor you, God, that this day, we make a quality decision that we will allow the Spirit of God to operate in us and through us, showing the love of God to others. It is a desire of our heart. We desire to do it, oh God, because we desire to be obedient to your word. We desire to be the men and women of God that you've called us to be, Father. And we thank you for Holy Spirit, our helper, being at work in us and through us, that when others see us, they will see the love of God, the love of the God who lives on the inside of us through the person of the Holy Spirit, God. We will not be selfish, God. We will not be hard-hearted, God, towards others. We will not show ill will to others, God, but we will show them the love of God that's at work in us and through us, God. We thank you for it. We praise you for it, and we honor you for it, God. Lord God, if there are times that we have not been loving, bring those times to our remembrance, Father, that we may repent of it and confess it before you. And your word says that when we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, God. Help us, Lord God, not to be so prideful and so haughty that we cannot go back and apologize, God, for behavior that was not pleasing to you, behavior that we exhibited towards others that was not pleasing to you, God. Help us to be loving, oh God, to those in our homes, our family members, Father, because sometimes it's so easy for us to be loving to others, but we have a problem when it comes to loving those who are the closest to us, God. Help us, God. Help us, oh God, we pray today. Lord God, and we thank you for doing it. We praise you for doing it, and we honor you for doing it, oh God, because we know that that is your will for us, God, to be loving and to show the love of God that's at work in us, God. And we stand on the promises of your word, Father, that when we pray according to your will, that you hear us. And if you hear us, then we know that we have the petitions for which we ask. Lord God, we are asking today that the Spirit of the living God who lives on the inside of us will continue to empower us, that we will walk in the love of God, that we will walk in your love, God, that we will show love to others, Father God, even as you've shown love to us. Not showing love based on what someone is doing for us or what someone does not do for us, God. That's witchcraft and that's disobedience to your word, Father God. And we thank you for what it is that you're doing in us. You're molding us and you're making us and you're shaping us, oh God, into the church, into the body of believers that you've called us to be. And we thank you for doing it, God, that you will be glorified in our lives, Father, that when others look upon us, they will see the Christ who lives big on the inside of us, Lord God. For Jesus Jesus loved you and he was so obedient to your word that he laid his life down. May we too lay our lives down, oh God, in obedience to your word, in obedience to what you tell us to do. And you command us to love even our enemies and to love those who use us, God. You command us to love them, God. For what reward is there when we can only love those who love us, when we can only be nice to those who are nice to us, kind to those, only to those who are kind to us? That takes nothing, God. That takes nothing. But because of the Spirit of the living God who lives on the inside of us, we're able to show love even to those who don't love us. We're able to be kind even to those who are not kind to us, all because of you, all because of the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us, empowering us to love according to you have commanded, as you have commanded us. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. And we ask this, Lord. We ask it, Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the name that's above all names, the only name given in heaven and earth by which men may be saved. For it's at that knee, that it's at that name that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers today. In Jesus' awesome, powerful name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Endeavor to walk in the love of God, because that's what God has called us to. He's called us to walk in love. Endeavor to walk in the love of God, that the fruit of the Spirit, the virtue of love, will be seen in us and through us. As always, thank you for tuning into the into Tuesday Noonday Prayer, and I'm Linda Sears, your broadcast host. This broadcast is brought to you by the RISPA Company, a ministry committed to empowering women through prayer, intercession, warfare, and the word of the living God. I would like to take a moment to invite you to join the RISPA Company prayer line every Monday and Friday morning at 6 a.m. as we come together partnering with God, birthing his will in the earth. The prayer line call-in number is area code 712-775-7031. Once again, the call-in number to the prayer line is 712-775-7031, and the access code is 618-727-POUND, 618-727-POUND. We thank God for you. Thank you for joining us today. And in closing, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Until next time, goodbye. God bless you.
The following is a paid advertisement. The sponsor is entirely responsible for its content.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen.
You are tuned to the Back to the Bible program with Dr. W.F. Washington, minister.